Number five. We've spent a great deal of time studying the fruit of the Spirit, and we've come to the last aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. And I thought we would read the passage. It says in verse 22, but, and of course, that word is a contrasting word, and it contrasts the works of the flesh. And so keep that in the forefront of your mind as we study the fruit of the Spirit. It is completely the polar opposite of the works of the flesh. And the aim of the fruit of the Spirit working in us both the will and to do of His good pleasure, is the purpose of it is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Every aspect of the fruit of the Spirit reflects the glory, the majesty, the greatness of Christ and our salvation in Him. And if we're going to be spiritual, it has to come from the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to walk in the Spirit, then this fruit must be abundant in our lives. But we'll read verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance. And that's what we're going to start on tonight. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Certainly, if you're walking in the Spirit, your desire is to crucify, mortify, put to death those old fleshly passions and sinful desires, so that you'll be filled up with the Holy Spirit of God, yielded to His influence, yielded to the truth of the Word of God, yielded to the example of Jesus Christ in your life. And that's what it means to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to be cognizant of the fact that you, as a saved person, are a spiritual being who is to be under the control of God's Holy Spirit and God's Holy Word. Now, tonight we're going to consider the fruit of the Spirit is temperance. In our modern use of the word temperance, I think we've lost some of its vital meaning and force. We often equate temperance with merely controlling our physical appetites with regards to food and drink. However, the biblical meaning of the word temperance goes beyond the mere controlling of our physical appetites to also include self-control in the spiritual realm, especially with regards to our thoughts, to our words, to our desires, our emotions, our motives. All of that must be under control. The biblical use of the word temperance conveys the idea of self-control or self-command. It means the ability to regulate our desires and our appetites by preventing their excess to stay within reasonable bounds. I like the definition of self-control that was given by Jerry Bridges. He said, ultimately, self-control is the exercise of inner strength under the direction of sound judgment that enables us to do, think, and say the things that are pleasing to God. Well, that is a statement worth repeating. Ultimately, self-control is the exercise of inner strength under the direction of sound judgment that enables us to do, to think, and say the things that are pleasing to God. The fact that the Holy Spirit must create within the child of God this ability to control his passions, his appetites, his desires, implies that we are prone to overindulgence. We are prone to sinful excesses because we still have an Adamic, carnal, sinful nature. It's something that will be a part of us until we're glorified. Well, and until we die or are glorified. We are going to have a nature that is in agreement with the world, agreement with sin, in agreement with the devil, and it's something that we've got to mortify, put to death each and every day. But the very fact that the Spirit of God must develop this grace of temperance in us tells me that we got a problem. If the Holy Spirit has to counteract our proneness to sin and to lawlessness, we have to be brought under control. We all lament with Paul the painful truth of Romans 7, 23 and 24. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? If you don't understand and feel, and if you don't lament over a sinful nature, then you've got spiritual problems. If you're not aware that you've got a nature that is in opposition to God and that wants to drag you down into the dregs of sin and temptation, you're going to lose the battle every day. Paul understood it. He may be one of the most spiritual, spirit-filled men in New Testament times. I'm amazed. I marvel at what the Apostle Paul was able to accomplish, the work he was able to do, the attitude that he had, the humility that he had, the power that he had in his preaching and in his writing. He attributes it all to God. He lived for God's glory. But here he is in Romans 7 saying, O wretched man that I am. One of the most spiritual men that ever walked the planet said, O wretched man that I am. Because of the evil of indwelling sin and our propensity for wickedness, every believer must understand that self-control or temperance is absolutely necessary because we are called upon to war against sinful lusts. This is a battle that we have to be aware of each and every day. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Abstain from fleshly lusts. Don't partake in them. Get away from them. In order to practice the virtues of biblical temperance, we have to mandate we have to obey the mandate of what true discipleship, as defined by Jesus, is all about. Jesus said this in Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You know, that directive goes completely against everything you hear in the world today. The world is bent on self-pleasing. People are out of control. They know no bounds for their wickedness, their indulgence, their immorality, their ungodliness. There once was a measure of a Judeo-Christian ethic where people had some measure of the fear of God, in the sense that they respected God, His Word, His day, His Word, His people. That day is completely gone. Not just here, but all over the world. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not one of these guys that believe, "Oh, woe is us. The Lord's coming back. We're just going to have to wait it out. Oh, I no sense in even fighting it." I say, fight it! War against it! Fight against sin. Fight against immorality and ungodliness and atheism and evolution and communism and Marxism. Fight! Because they're destructive philosophies that are bent on hating God. And they have all of these man-made philosophies, every single one of them, do not take into account human depravity. And that's why there's so much excess in our world today, and so little self-control. There was a time when there was shame associated with having children out of wedlock. That's completely gone now. There are men, and I use that term loosely, that are fathering children and they don't do anything to take care of them. That's wicked. That's ungodly. In fact, you're worse than an infidel if you don't take care of your children and your family. And it's a scourge. Every class of people in America today, and it's due to the lack of self-control. Young people are fornicating around. People that are married are committing adultery. It's ungodliness. It's a lack of temperance. Think about the condition that we find our world in. Drunkenness, drug abuse, overdose. And it all goes to this sin of no self-control. That's why I hammer it into my grandkids. I tell them, both sides of our family have problems with drugs and alcohol. Both sides of our family. So you better not even take the first drink. You never better smoke the first joint. You better not take the first pill. You better not ever mess with anybody that's shooting up heroin. Because it's a painful, what it does to people, it destroys their lives. And it goes back to this sin of intemperance. If we are to follow Christ aright, we must learn to daily crucify our fleshly passions by dying to self-will through the practice of self-control. As we begin to implement the necessary disciplines relating to temperance, we will soon find out that it is the key to true spiritual liberty, freedom, and usefulness in the service of the Lord. The more that we exercise self-control and are under the control of the Spirit, the more fruitful we'll be. The more filled we'll be with the Holy Spirit, thus obeying the admonition in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And I think a foundational principle in the practice of temperance and the cultivation of it, and now next week we're going to look at keys to cultivating temperance, but there's a foundational principle as seen in the teachings of Jesus Christ, and it's this idea that we are surrendered to God's Word, to God's will. That we recognize that God's Word, His will, His way is of supreme authority. And that our desires are secondary. And He must be first. And I want to look at a couple of passages in the Gospel of John. Turn back with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 34. Now notice the language of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent Me, and to finish His work." In essence, He's saying, this is what sustains my whole sense of being. That I do the will of the One who sent Me, the Father, and finish the work that He gave. And you talk about a surrendered life. It's the life of Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. Turn over to John chapter 5 and look at verse 30. Jesus said, "I can of Mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and My judgment is just." Again, notice the emphasis here. What is the aim of the fruit of the Spirit being developed in us? We to be more like Christ. To have the mind of Christ. To be controlled by the Spirit of Christ. He said, "I seek not Mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent Me." This is a foundational principle in this grace of temperance, that you are surrendered to God's will just like Jesus Christ was. Look at chapter 6 and verse 38. He says, "For I came down from heaven not to do Mine own will, but the will of Him that sent Me." The essence of my earthly life is one of entire surrender to the will of the Father. And when He was uttering these words, He knew precisely everything that He would have to endure. He knew what God's purpose was. He was there and participated in the covenant of grace. He understood everything that he would have to go through. And his life was one of complete surrender to the will of God, to the will of the Father. John chapter 8, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. I'm not self-willed in my humanity. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Do you get it? Do you get the principle that Christ is laying down for us? One last one, and we'll close. Hebrews chapter 10. This life of surrender, of being under the control of God's will, it was prophesied in the Old Testament about the humanity and the body of Jesus Christ. And this is a quote from a psalm. Hebrews 10 verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Why do I come? To do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Once for all. As I read these passages, what came from the mouth of Jesus Himself, I got convicted. How surrendered are we? We say we want to be more like Christ. That we want to be under the control of God. Now, it all comes down to this surrender. Not my will, but thine be done. May God help us as we study the fruit of temperance, that we understand just how important it is to practice self-control in a world that is completely out of control, all for the glory of God.